At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Now Taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is Taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
This conflict in Palestine has exposed, I don't know if I could say every evil in the world, mm-hmm. but it's brought, like, you could hold everything to the light of Palestine and what's going on. Yeah. And it's bringing out, like, it's amazing how it shifted the world and changed the world.
My bad.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back, guys, to the Cousin
Connection podcast.
I totally did not forget to record the first part there. My bad.
Was it actually not recording?
Yeah, it wasn't recording. My bad. I'm sorry. Okay.
We can read.
Yeah,
the intro.
But you know, what were you saying earlier? No, okay. We have our unofficial third guest here. I can't recreate it, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I can't do it all again.
Good.
Okay.
We have our third cousin.
Yeah, exactly.
Returning guest.
Honestly,
Adil.
We probably are cousins some way this here
the,
there.
This is a second cousin's connection right here. Man.
There you go.
We're probably second cousins, man. So
we got to do a little research, but we'll find it. Okay. We'll find that connection.
I'm glad to be back, though, man. Glad to be back, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. A recurring guest, Adil T. Wait, but. What should we call you officially?
I change my name every time, so you don't even just go.
What's
go
the new alias now?
Yo Gabby. Gabby. That was in my club clubhouse given name, so I'll go by
Yo Gabby. So that's YOGABBI, right? On Instagram.
Yeah.
You changed it. Well, before it used to be what?
The Real Hyena Man.
Yeah. That's what it was.
That was my favorite, man. That was my favorite. But,
I remember that. Yeah.
Well, why'd you retire The Real Hyena Man?
Legal issues, man. legal issues, man. But I'll get back to it, man. I'm going to earn that name, so it's all right. I'm going to get back
okay,
to it.
Okay. But we'll talk about what you're doing to maybe try and earn that name recently. Mm. Okay. He's also from the famed Luz Muerto podcast. Who went on a little bit of hiatus, just a little bit, you know.
It was about 2 years to be, almost to be exact, 2 years. Yeah, mm-hmm. Long time, man. And they get, I mean,
but
in that span, though, Cousins Connect, they took the, honestly, y'all, I got a lot of respect for what y'all did, man. Like, y'all
thank
consistent,
you.
Like, that's something we could have never done. So, I got a lot of, I really have a lot of respect for what y'all did, man. And mm-hmm. y'all are where we hoped to be when we first started, man.
Yeah.
I got to tip my hat to that, man.
Hey,
I will
you,
say,
we'll
Luz Muerto walked, so cousin.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys.
No,
okay, so I'm just saying,
it,
no,
man. That's
getting
love.
Back and forth here.
That's love, man.
Yeah, but the reason you actually came back, well, Luz Muerto came back in general, was for actually a very good cause, and something we've been speaking about on the podcast for a while. Everyone's already known about it. If you're known about it, if you've listened to here for a while, or if you've been online in general, and that is specifically the Palestine. What's going on in Palestine? I know we kind of, in the early days, we're like calling it a conflict because really it's not a conflict.
It's a genocide.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's
right.
Just call it what it is.
So it's changed in how we refer to it, but it's still something that Palestinian people are going through. And now you're bringing more light to by like pretty much raising Palestinian voices on your podcast. At least I feel like that's what your mission is. But you can go ahead and say exactly what you guys are. What your goal is with that?
Yeah, no, we definitely have a segment. What I was trying to work on called amplifying Palestinian voices is something that we're working on. But I feel like while we were gone, you know, in a 2-year absence, a topic like this, it kind of, I found the passion that we first started with, like having, like wanting to speak out about certain things.
Yeah.
Like when this was going on, like I didn't know who to talk to, but I wanted, there's certain things I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And what really, really, really fueled it was that when I had conversations one-on-one with people in my family, in my community, there were a lot of people that were like on the fence. They were like,
really?
Yeah. Like I was like surprised by the amount of people that I came across in my own community.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know if they want to take the politically correct stance mm-hmm. or whatever. It was just like, well, you know, it happens in war. Like there was some answers I just felt were unacceptable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what I did, I took a couple months and for hours, I'm talking mm-hmm. about every single day for hours, I would go on TikTok. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
And I would go on TikTok lives and I would hear debates between Palestinians and Zionists, Palestinians and pro-Israelis. Mm-hmm. Whenever they brought up something I didn't know, I would go research it. Yeah. I would follow it up. I just spent so much time learning it. And teach my community or people around me that, like, there's only one side to this. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to this. Like, so I was listening to all the arguments, and I was just do my best to educate anybody around me that would listen.
Yeah.
And that's where.
Actually, just to give, like, you know, them some leeway, or not leeway, but like to be more understanding of maybe why a lot of our parents might have been like that,
yeah.
is maybe because of like the trauma of what they went through back home. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. the reason a lot of them had to leave was for speaking up,
yeah.
right? Speaking up or just being students or young people who wanted things to change, right?
Yeah.
And they had to leave or they were killed.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of trauma is coming back here now, being like, don't rustle any feathers. Mm. Don't just keep your head down and do what you can to be successful in your own realm, and don't like kind of make too much noise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Not saying that it's 100% right, but like, yeah. I feel like that's to understand where they're coming from when they say that.
That's one part. So the problem was, mm-hmm. it wasn't even the parents. It was young guys.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. Like young professional, young kids. They just didn't know anything about the conflict.
Oh, okay.
They didn't know anything. So for the parents, I understood because every parent will never get political. They mm-hmm. The amount of times where I try to post some about Palestine or anything political, a picture of a Palestinian woman fighting a soldier, like they'd be like, "Hey, take that down." Like, I mean, they
really?
Are parents, and they, I mean, I get rightfully so. They have a fear, like this. It's a rational fear for them. Like they can't speak out, or they see it as this very problematic. I mean, mm-hmm. they don't know their rights as much in America, so they feel like, you know, they're gonna get in trouble. Like, I mean, they want to do anything to stay away from trouble.
Right.
And I can respect that. But
in Canada, that might actually be more realistic because we do have laws here where. Yeah. If there's actually a time where if we were to speak out in a certain manner against Zionists or people, Israeli people in general, we could be found like liable. Like we could be put under arrest for that, basically.
Blood liable, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah.
Your job's at stake, your school, like if you have scholarships, like mm-hmm. a lot of people were fired or mm-hmm. lost scholarships because they spoke up online, which is like... We don't have freedom of speech here.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I thought we did until this topic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In America, I really thought we did, but we're seeing that's not really the case. That it's being bought out,
mm-hmm.
and this is a topic that, bro, it don't matter what the price is for this, man. Like I know for y'all, just y'all like me, like it's been on y'all mind nonstop, and it's mm-hmm. all they can think about, man. So when I hear Palestinians and I see the videos and I hear the family members of Palestinians saying, why is nobody speaking up for us? Why is nobody talking about this? Bro, if we had a platform, I say, yo, we're going to use that platform. I don't care how much people reaches mm-hmm. because they're asking for it, bro. We got to go speak up about mm-hmm. it, man. And I just feel like if that's the only thing I could do, that's what I'm going to do, man, because they're asking for it, man.
Yeah.
So, and it just breaks my heart, man, to be honest with you, man. So, yeah, it just reignited the passion. Like, yo, there's certain things we got to talk about, and I don't care at what price, you know.
Yeah, and you couldn't have started at a better time. Like the fact that you're in the city now, and we can like, you know, amplify this and hopefully get this out to more people because, the more voices, the better. Like, seeing,
I know your audience is just like y'all, man. Mm-hmm. This is stuff they care about, man. This is stuff they want to do. They want to mm-hmm. They want to hear those conversations. They want to be part of those conversations.
Yeah.
So I know, like, you know, what I mean, that's why I'm glad to be on here with y'all to mm-hmm. talk about this, man.
Prior to you guys kind of reviving Luz Muerto and having that 3-part series, you also were tapping into your creative side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Y'all called it last time. Y'all replayed the last time I was here. And then, I was even doing it, but y'all were telling me about, y'all mm-hmm. were telling people that I was doing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, let me, I'm going to give Sarah and Amir a lot of credit for that push because they were saying, he does spoken word. And I'm like, I actually ain't got nothing out, man. So I started writing again and I started sharing it too.
Yeah. And I think you started pre any of this, like anything going on in Palestine, you were already posting content or your spoken word. But then I saw that it shifted towards more like poems related to Palestine. What do you call them? Poems or spoken
word?
Spoken word pieces. And then I was like, you know what, this could be good for, and then for Luz Muerto, and then next thing you know, you started Luz Muerto again.
Yeah, definitely, and, definitely. Man. Y'all need to do a bet, man. Y'all need to do some like kind of thing where y'all could.
It's in the works.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My bad. I didn't mean to push you. Man. My bad. But,
one day, inshallah.
Yeah, one day, inshallah. Not super soon, but one day. Okay?
Like Sada.
Inshallah. But the one thing that you did that a lot of people were mentioning over time is that, like, you know, we're all the Palestinian voices. I know this is controversial. We've spoken about like how the biggest voices we've been hearing about are like non-Palestinian voices. Mm-hmm. Specifically, like recently there was
Sean King
mm-hmm. with that situation. You know, all power to him for him at least spreading the word and everything. But I saw that you actually went out and started reaching out to Palestinians yourself.
There actually are Palestinians that I got the honor, the privilege to talk to. And just tell them about their family story. You know, so I'm really looking forward to dropping those, but but anybody who's really speaking up and know what they're talking about, like people who get signed off by Palestinians, and that's important, man. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one, but it's important, man. Like, I'm gonna leave it at that. It's a tough one.
But no, but that's important that you did actually. You said you spoke to Palestinians which is what I'm trying to get at. The people that try and make it about themselves, but it's important to put up the voices as well of like those who are more connected and more on the ground with these kind of situations.
Yeah. They, that's kind of a rule, even on like all the lives that I've been on, everything I've been listening to is like, don't speak over Palestinian. Like, do not always bring them up on the stage when they are requesting, and, you know, let them speak for their family, let them speak for themselves. And, and like I said, yo, the pain that they have when they speak, like, it's just, bro, I don't know how you can argue it. I don't know how you have, and one of the reasons I really want to do this series is because I feel like there is no argument. Like, there is no, like, I don't care what somebody has brought up before in the past. If you do a little bit of research, not even a lot, it just breaks down all their talking points, and you realize. And we had this Jewish girl on there that actually went to Israel, and she used to be a Zionist. She used to believe in Zionism. And she was indoctrinated. She was taught, and she's like, "Look, argue off emotions because the facts are not on your side." She actually was admitting it. She was telling us that, and she got out of it. And she's just like, "Yo, the facts are not on your side." That's why when they argue, it's always an emotional appeal. It's always, "I'm the victim." It's always, "You don't care about us. You want us to," like, it's very a lot of gaslighting involved. Yeah. And that's why we need the facts. We need to speak from just a very I don't know.
Yeah, and speaking like of that whole like facts over feeling thing, the one thing online recently is might be another controversial thing that happened was there was a split between. Do you know about the Daily Wire?
No.
You know about Daily Wire? Yeah. So there was. So do you know who Ben Shapiro is?
Yes.
So Ben Shapiro, straight up like full on Zionist, right? And this guy had Candace Owens on his part of his what do you call it? His platform. Yeah. Daily Wire, what do you call it? Like an anchor on there.
Yeah.
And she was actually recently fired because.
Oh, I do know about this.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying I don't agree with everything Candace Owens says. Like, there are some things I agree with, some things I don't. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is the guy who owns it, Ben Shapiro. He's the guy who's always talking about facts over feelings. Yeah. Facts over feelings. Yet, when it came to this one thing online, he's like,
no facts.
Yeah. Forget all the facts. Yeah. It's all feelings.
He started off with people said they wanted proof.
I know.
They wanted proof of the 40 babies. And he said, here's the proof. And he showed an AI generated picture.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, like, that's just, like, I said, there's no argument on this.
Yeah.
Like,
it's the clearest example of how when it actually comes to something that they don't want us to talk about, all facts go out the window. It's all about feelings, like that girl mentioned.
You know what's interesting, though? Like, I think this conflict in Palestine has exposed, I don't know if I can say every evil in the world, but it's brought, like, you could hold everything to the light of Palestine, going on.
Yeah.
And it's bringing out, like, it's amazing how it shifted the world and changed the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually...
And people's perspective on the world.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. People, man, like, there's so much on that one topic by itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm amazed. Like, no matter what it is, politics, education system, anything. I don't care what it is. If there's a corruption or something going on, you could literally hold it to light of the Palestinian what's going on, and it will expose somehow how there is some corruption in this way or in this period. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to say, the only thing I wanted to ask was, like, from doing your, like, because it sounds like you've taken a lot of time to do your own research rather than just consuming, like, whatever the news outlets post online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there something that you feel like you've learned that maybe the everyday person just from, you know, taking in content on Instagram or TikTok, like, is there something that you feel like you've learned that opened your eyes and that you want other people to now know, because I feel like it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, there's a lot. Honestly, there's a lot. But one, like, mm-hmm. going back to the all the things that it exposed.
Yeah.
It exposed, like, these, let's say, the importance of having your research, having sources for your research. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. I never was big into school, but, yeah. like, people who actually done research and have sources and brought their proof are shining right now, because yeah. they're like, when the Zionist comes with a talking point, if you look into it, it's mm-hmm. somebody who's paid by a think tank that's yep. Israeli, that was like, it really like debunks. There's no credibility in any of the arguments. And they have a real like, trust me, bro, kind of sense. Yeah. Like, I live here. I see it. Like, trust me. Like, you know what I mean? I know how it is. Like, mm-hmm. The importance of doing research and having like sources. And I've had a lot of newfound respect for that.
Yeah. And that goes back to something I mentioned last week, where even if someone is in the wrong, and like, you know you're in the right, if you don't have all the research to prove that you're right, and they have all of this like quote unquote research or things that would help their argument, it can make them look like they're in the right completely mm-hmm. to an audience that is just seeing it from the outside. So that's why it's also important to have all the facts on your side, because that's why you see there's a lot of people who are still may even be on the Zionist side of this thing because they're saying all the Zionists are like coming out with all these quote unquote facts.
Yeah.
But because they're maybe speaking to someone who's just, passionate about this, supporting the Palestinian people, doesn't have all the facts, it makes them look bad in this situation. Right. So that's why it's also important to have.
And that ties into the very first thing, how we started off this conversation, mm-hmm. where I saw people in my community and my mm-hmm. circle that was just really on the fence.
Yeah.
Because if you're hearing somebody from the other side, it sounds like, okay, well, that's the right thing to do. I got to support these people, right? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, the arguments that they come from, mm-hmm. if they were true, if they were actual, factual, then I'll be like, yo, you got a good case, man. Like, mm-hmm. look, I got to support both sides. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, the point of doing research and having sources, because you mm-hmm. realize that's not the story that's been, like, that's not actually how reality went. And you're starting to see, like, in the last 6 months, mm-hmm. you start to see you finally hear the Palestinian side of the story.
Yeah.
And the biggest quote that came out of me for me in this mm-hmm. whole conflict is that it's the African proverb that until the lion learns how to write, mm-hmm. History will always celebrate the hunter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So for our whole lives, we've only heard the side of the hunter, the side of America, the side of Israel, the mm-hmm. side of the winner, the colonizers, the slave master story. We only heard their story. That they wanted independence and the Arab countries attacked them and mm-hmm. for being Jewish. And like, bro, that's not how history went.
Yeah.
For the first time, we're seeing the Nakba. We're seeing Darius scene. We're seeing atrocities that were never, ever mentioned. They were wiped out of history books. Mm-hmm. Talking about the corruption and talking about what Palestine exposed.
Yeah.
You see there are lobbyist groups in America who pay for school books to have certain things omitted. From. Mm-hmm. So you have a whole generation of kids growing up every year learning about one side of the story that the winner is telling. So I mean, so that's why I can't really explain what I mean, but I say that this Palestine exposed so many things. Mm-hmm. And I know if you're on IG every day, you're starting to see more and more random facts that just tie in and make everything so crazy. It feels like everything's connected.
Yeah.
Like the whole world, like everything's connected to this one topic, man.
It helps that we have places like TikTok and Instagram, and in these places where the mainstream news might tell you one thing, and then TikTok and Instagram will show you, oh no, this is the actual story. Like, this is what they're trying to hide.
Even then, like, it's still so censored. Mm-hmm. And you know,
but there's so much volume now.
There is, yeah. So mm-hmm. I feel like we still get to, like, get to see that content, even though for us, like, I don't know if you know, but in Canada, we have, what is it, Bill
C? Like Bill C-51 or something like that. Yeah.
Where, like, we actually don't have access to, like, news outlets on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like, they completely blocked it for us.
Yeah, that's crazy. They're trying to take away TikTok for us, too. Like, you have freedom of speech until it comes to this. Like, you have everything until it comes to this one topic.
Yeah.
Like, you have democracy until it comes to this topic. Mm-hmm. Like, another thing exposed, democracy. Like, you have all these things until it comes to this.
Yeah.
And you see the clear hypocrisy. You see them being bought out, being paid by mm-hmm. these organizations, lobbies, APAC groups. And then you see the results of it. And then they're really trying to play the Americans like they are, for the most part, not really educated, but they really throw it in the face. And
unfortunately, because America is so powerful and like how the masses in America have been so uninformed and like uneducated on a lot of things going on in the world, I think that's why they've been able to hold so much power, because their own voting base doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. They kind of just like, you know, follow the status quo essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything they feel might disturb that status quo, they're just going to kind of like stick with what's been working, which is why it's been so hard to get America changed so much, because they know that their main voting base won't really care about what they're doing outside of America.
Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy thing about it, man. Like, people don't know. And when the attacks were happening in 2022.
Yeah.
I wrote certain pieces and I was just like, oh, why is nobody talking? I really was confused. Like, I like, why is nobody talking? And I was in my writings, I was literally calling the genocide. I was calling apartheid. I was calling these things before the world. Actually, I'm not trying to say like, oh, like I'm just, you just had to pay attention. You would see it, bro. It's not like, you're not like, oh, he's super woke. No, like nobody's paying attention to this. It's been going on for 76 years, 75 years, 76 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, why is nobody talking about this? And it's just like the world just turned a blind eye. And I'm so glad that people are finally giving it the attention that it needed a long time ago, man. And
yeah,
it's a tough, man. Like, the situation is so tough, man. And but they're the most resilient people I've ever seen in my life, man.
Yeah,
and
definitely. But I sometimes even look into my own ignorance in the situation, in that, like, even though I think one of our first podcasts was literally like named Free Palestine.
Actually.
It's in the hearts of all the Muslims. It's not the hearts of anybody that's really just trying to be real human. Yeah.
But with that, like, now, because, like, what was that? BDS has been around for a long time, right?
Yeah.
But
some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Never really got its focus that it needed until literally October of last year, right? Yeah. And like, I'm thinking, like, yeah, like back in the day, we had no problem going to Starbucks, you know? We had no problem like going.
Man, I always had a guilt. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not. But I swear to God, I've always had a guilt, man. I was like, I wasn't like pushing for it or like telling anybody, but I just in my heart, I was like, yeah, I know they're owned by Israelis, man. I was just like, I don't know, like they have a big stare. Like I've always had like a little bit in me that's like, ah, shit, man. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I thought they debunked that, and the reason why they're on the BDS list now is because the workers who spoke up against Israel and said like we stand with our Palestinian brothers and sisters, and then Starbucks basically said we don't agree with that statement, and that's why they're on the BDS list. It's not
When you say debunked, what do you mean by debunked? Like, how was it debunked?
The original reason was not really why they should have been on the BDS list. Or
like,
why
I don't know if they're actually owned by an Israeli company. Okay, maybe they are, but I
thank you for trying to make me feel better.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, there's some truth. I mean, look, I don't want to say anything I might be wrong, but I would say there's always some truth to it. You know what I mean? It might be like a 1-2 degrees away.
In our heart of hearts, we kind of knew there
was they're just too close for me, for my liking. That's all I know. They're too close for my liking. I don't know if they are or not. I know they donate money. They supply a lot of money.
I think there was some sort of tie in the past. I don't know if they were doing that like as recent as October 2023, but they did specify like the reason why they're on the list is because of that whole thing with the workers and the statement that they made.
I don't know. I just feel like they're doing something I don't like, man. I don't know exactly what it is, man. I mean, so they're doing something I don't like, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now they're paying the price. I mean, like look at how much they're
not
impacted.
Getting paid at all.
Yeah, not right. Ha ha ha. A mere joke of the day.
Oh, okay, I'm done. Okay. But speaking of, well, we've already been speaking about Palestine, but like recently. Specifically in Palestine, there's been a lot of updates, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So
I made my notes.
Oh, you made exactly. She has her notes there.
Okay.
So I've been very uneasy in the past 24 hours because this, I don't know about you guys, but this reminds me of the energy of what happened around October 7th. Because when October 7th happened, I was super, I was sort of like not happy, but I was like, okay, something might be happening here, but it could go one of two ways. Like, and I felt really uneasy because I felt like it's not going to be good for the Palestinian people, because I've seen how these the Zionists and the other Western powers, how they have so much bloodlust in them, mm-hmm. that like even if you like give them a paper cut, they will destroy the whole body, your whole body. They will erase you from history, essentially, mm-hmm. right? So that's why I felt so uneasy when I saw that happening, because like there's definitely gonna be some consequence for this. I didn't realize how bad it would be. I didn't think it would go this far.
None of us did.
But I'm sort of getting that same feeling. Of course, at the end of the day, I trust in Allah. Like, I don't know, inshallah, everything works out. But like, I still feel very uneasy from what's been going on.
I have the opposite feeling.
I don't know. You guys, you can tell me.
Like, okay, so you know about the attack. Like, let's call it a retaliation. Yeah. Okay? Okay. Yeah. A well-deserved retaliation. Okay, Zara, okay. but like, so I think it was like last week or so, mm-hmm. maybe a week or two ago, Israel attacked the Iranian consulate in, was it Lebanon or Syria?
Yemen, I think.
Syria.
Syria.
Syria. Okay, Syria.
Yeah.
So they killed about 13 people there. Mm-hmm. On April 13th, Iran finally retaliated, as they promised that they would. They actually said, like, if y'all come for us, we're going to come right back and 10 times harder. Mm-hmm. And they did. Yeah. And they started shooting. They, like, sent over drones with missiles. They had, what else did they send? Like, different bombs, and basically just went ham on Israel. Mm-hmm. The part that makes me feel a little bit disappointed but not surprised is the fact that, like, Jordan, Egypt have closed their airspace. Mm-hmm. And then Jordan said that they were going to shoot down the Iranian missiles.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, no, but like, okay, I might come from a side that you guys don't agree with, but like, I can sort of understand why they would do that. No, listen to me. I'm not saying it's right. At the end of the day, a lot of times I'm a person who gives caveats and I try and give the benefit of the doubt, or what do they call it?
There's no benefit of the doubt here, though.
No. But like, the reason they do it, because think about it. Lebanon, not Lebanon. See, Jordan and what was the other country?
Egypt.
They're both bordering countries to Israel, right? So because of that, they are scared. Essentially, they did it out of fear, because they know that Israel still has a lot of Western support at the moment. So anything they do that may seem like they're supporting the opposite side will be seen as a reason for Israel and the Western governments to start taking more land from them and maybe invading them. Because they'll be like, oh, these guys, because the biggest fear they have, similar to what's happening in Ukraine and Russia and stuff with like NATO and all that or whatever, is when you have a country that's bordering with Israel that's also an enemy of them, or is now supporting the enemy, they're going to be their biggest threat. Iran is still far, but Egypt and Jordan are right next door, and they've already had issues and conflicts, and they're trying to be as diplomatic as... No, I'm not saying it's right.
I know.
These guys are trying to first make sure their pockets are okay and that they're not killed by their own people, because the people of Egypt and Jordan, they might be in support of the country.
Palestine or Israel?
Israel.
Yeah.
They might be in support of
Israel.
Palestine. My bad.
So I'm like, what?
Why are you trying to confuse me?
You said it.
Chill. I didn't mean that, okay? But the government, at the end of the day, they're trying to protect their pockets and make sure that like there's no like negative repercussions for them.
I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But then Lebanon entered the chat, and then they started to bomb Israel as well. And they're basically like, I don't want to call them a war-torn country, but like they've been going through it too.
Well,
so what's Jordan's excuse? I'm pretty sure Jordan is fairly wealthy. Mm-hmm. Egypt, I don't know if I can say the same.
Yeah.
But
because I think they've seen what Israel did to their own people. Not their own people, but to the Palestinian people.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's stopping them from doing that to our people? Because they're going to have, I'm telling you right now, no matter what, they're always going to have, the government's always going to be, not the government, the U.S. is always going to be like, oh, we're concerned, you know, we tried to tell them to stop, blah, 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 but it's always talk. It's never action. They will not do anything to go against Israel anyway. So, sorry, I keep saying Israel because,
you're right.
But I feel like if they were to start attacking Egypt and Jordan, they would still back them. They'd be like, oh, but we still have to help them, right? At the end of the day, even though we don't like what they're doing, we're still going to help them.
It makes no sense, because if the U.S. gets involved, mm-hmm. I saw a little article that said that Vladimir Putin said, if the U.S. gets involved, then we're going to side with Iran.
Putin I don't is know already how, dealing with his own war.
I know he is. Yeah. But all I'm saying is
yeah,
they're asking for a world war. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And it might happen. And I'm not like mm-hmm. sitting here happily like waiting. Like, it's going to impact all of us, clearly. Yeah. You know, we know that if the U.S. goes to war, we're yeah. going
to
be dragged
into it. And
that's
also another thing. We have to remember, we're in a privileged space where we're literally on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
So like your tone or your opinions might be slightly different if you lived in Egypt or if you yeah. lived in Jordan or if you lived in Lebanon. If you lived in a place where the next your day to day could be a lot more insecure, a little unsure. Like you don't know, will I even have a home in the next week?
I hear
people,
you.
People want to be able to support the Palestinian people, the cause mm-hmm. at the end of the day. But if you're a father of a few children, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that your children are safe.
I can understand that. I genuinely yeah. understand that, and mm-hmm. I for sure I acknowledge the fact that we all are coming from a place mm-hmm. of privilege. So you may not necessarily agree with my opinion. That's okay. Mm-hmm. We're all entitled to it. But think of it. Let me give you like an analogy. Imagine like you have a bully.
Yeah.
Okay. And the bully is picking on me. Mm-hmm. And the bully tells you, Amir, if you try and defend her, I'm going to beat you up too. So now I'm mm-hmm. going to bully you too. So what are you going to do? Side with the bully now because you don't want to get beat up?
That's a good analogy. I mean, yeah. I mean,
it's more like,
of, it's get more what of
like analogy. It's a good analogy. Yeah.
Like that's analogy. Basically what you're saying because you don't want to get beat
even,
up.
I don't disagree with Amir. I actually think no, I know. Validity what you're
yeah.
saying.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly. Analogy, yeah, like, mm-hmm. But that's what
it's
I'm saying.
It's easy like on the playground well, terms though. Not in like.
I know. I know.
It's more like you're trying to, because in this case,
I know they're trying to protect themselves. Jordan's trying to protect the country. Same thing with Egypt. Like I get that, mm-hmm. but it's just like Adil was saying before, like you said, like we've all said, like the truth is so like it's so clear mm-hmm. in terms yeah. of who's right and who's wrong. It's,
but it's never black and white.
Never black and white.
It's never.
It's black not. And white. I know, but like I'm sure if as all of the Arab nations, yeah. the Muslim countries actually banded together, mm-hmm. they have enough wealth. They have enough resources to actually be a strong force
why
to fight.
Why do you think Israel was there in the first place? To make sure that never.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Exactly why it's there.
Have you not seen what their plans are? Their plans are not only to have that region. Yeah, yeah. Their plans are to expand greater. And to take over the rest of the Levant.
Greater
basically.
Israel.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. As far as Iran's retaliation. Mm-hmm. It was like J. Cole's retaliation, right? It's a warning shot.
I did
shot,
see
right?
that.
Like, it's a warning shot, and I don't think it was like that's going to set.
Are they
going to
be like J. Cole and say sorry?
Yeah, he maybe they say we done. Yeah, they're going to take it back, and the real beef's going to start between Kendrick and Drake. You know what I mean? That's
like been, it did today. Oh
yeah,
my God.
All the nations are getting gang up on one mm-hmm. one person.
20-1.
But I would say as far as like politics, who really knows what's going on behind closed
yeah,
doors? I'll
yeah.
never know. I like Sami Hamdi though. I don't know if y'all know who Sami Hamdi is.
I don't.
A great
that
Muslim.
Sounds so familiar.
Muslim political geo analyst. Mm-hmm. He gives you things that the common person be like, why is
I've
it like this?
Seen
yeah,
his
he,
content,
he,
but
he yeah,
I'm
he talks to like diplomats behind closed doors.
Yeah.
He does mm-hmm. business with them, advises them on business. Mm-hmm. And in return, like, you know, they have casual conversations mm-hmm. and he'll be like, he learns a lot of things about the politics that yeah. the you know average person just wouldn't know. And then I see a lot of videos nowadays, like leaked CIAs, all these leaked things happening that explain why. Like there was a country in the UAE or something. I forget the country, but like mm-hmm. basically the son overthrew the father. Mm. He took the country. He took the whole country. And he was about, I guess.
In
he was,
the UAE?
I forget. Exactly. I got to double check. But like yeah. it's one of those countries out there. And then the father went to America, mm-hmm. went to the Western powers like, hey, my son just took the country from me. I need your help.
No way.
And they said, look, if we help you take the country back, you have to recognize Israel as a state. Like these are certain things that happen.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like these rulers, they don't care about the people. Mm-hmm. They're doing things to ensure their status, their situation, yep. and they're selling everybody out. And that you could literally, because I want to be the king, mm-hmm. I will agree to whatever it is. Just put me in power. And yeah. then now they have to, these rules they have to abide by.
Which
we
is
have
a big
to recognize.
Part of probably
we
why.
Have, yeah. I mean, so these certain things that's yeah. going on, bro, they don't care about the people. That's why I had an issue with how Amir stated it. Not to mm-hmm. say it was wrong. But he's trying to say in a way where like they care about the people and they're trying to do what's right.
Yeah,
they don't care
okay,
about the people.
I don't believe like I tried to I'll take that part back. I don't think they care much about their being in power.
Yeah, exactly. That part, 100%. Like, they, the king of Jordan wants to be in power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's doing enough where he can make them happy and his citizens happy at the same time. That's why you see they're dropping aid, but they're dropping it in the water. Like, they're doing things where it's like, I'm doing enough just to make my people happy, but not offend Israel at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? It's just clear, bro. Like, at the end of the day, these governments all have pretty much sold out. And that's the agenda of the Western powers. You control the leaders and you control the mass.
Yeah.
So all these leaders are on but this, I don't know how far they can do that, because the people are really at the point where, like, we don't support this. Like, it's crazy, bro. Like, the whole country is like, yo, we want to do some, and the leaders like, yo, don't talk about it. Like, you see what's happening in Saudi, man. Like, yo, this is there's a lot. When I tell you the Palestine exposed everything, I'm sorry, bro. Like, it exposed everything, bro. Like, you
can't even the Saudis, man.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, it's just,
especially with Yemen.
Yeah, you can't speak about it. Like, you know, just don't question the government. You know, just, you know, it's fitting up. Like, come on, man. Like, yo, there's no way in the world, bro. No way, bro.
I'm laughing just because of how ridiculous that sounded. Sorry.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Did we explain exactly what happened? You said, right? Like, they started sending rockets and drones.
From
we already mentioned that part
from Iran.
Yeah. Okay, just making sure. Shoot, I don't know. I felt like we got on a tangent and never actually mentioned what was happening.
You have these countries, all these leaders.
I cut you off. That's why.
Yeah,
They're sending weapons to Israel. All these UAE, all these countries that are condemning them in public. I had my hope in Turkey. I really thought they were like, yo, they're the ones I could really like.
Me too.
I like them, man. But like, even them do things like, yo, they behind doors, they're sending fruits, and I'm just like, yo, man, I don't know who to trust, man. To be honest with you, man.
Oh, what's that sound? But yeah, so with the rockets that were coming over, being it's rockets from Lebanon, but they had drones, I believe,
from Iran,
being sent from Iran, and then you mentioned that Jordan and Egypt started intercepting a lot of those, but
the U.S. too.
Yeah, the U.S. as well. But I'm not sure if they mean that from like from Israel, or they mean that from other countries around that they're doing that. Like, exactly, I don't know. They have bases everywhere at this point, probably somewhere in the sea.
And their bases starting to get kicked out of their countries too, though. Like, we're seeing things that we thought we never seen before, man. And mashallah, long live the resistance, man. Exactly. Like, because the world is being shaken up right now.
And we're recording this on Sunday, April what, 14th?
14th, yeah.
So I feel like from the day that, from now until we post this, like, everything could change. We don't know. Like, right now, it's only been less than 24 hours or maybe 24 hours since this started happening. And you've seen how things can change. Like, in the next 24 hours, a lot of things change, 48 hours, 72 hours. So this might be old news by the time it comes out. But inshallah, the newer news is going to be more positive.
Some diplomacy. Right? I think it's going to be a lot of diplomacy. Hopefully, I don't take these words back. We're going to have to edit this out. But I feel like a lot more diplomacy is about to
inshallah, take place. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to escalate to the point people think it is.
Yeah.
We known Iran was going to retaliate. We known that. That's nothing surprising about that.
They said we're going to do it. And for once, they weren't like America. Yeah. They weren't more talk. They actually
I think they realize. Okay, I think people are going to realize, like, damn, this is really getting too out of control.
Yeah.
We need to start. I think people are going to turn, or U.S. are going to turn a lot more on Israel and be like, yo, we can't control this no more. Yeah, you can't control it no more. Like, what's going to happen? Because they want this to happen. Israel wants to bring U.S. into it.
Yeah,
I know they do, but the U.S. doesn't want
to
go to war.
Exactly. So they're going to have to put the silence on them. Like, and my fear is that they're going to try to blame this whole scenario on Netanyahu when this is not the case, right? Obviously, this is,
and just replace him with another guy.
Yeah, the government's like, he was the problem.
He's already unpopular.
And, you know what I mean? So that's what my biggest fear is. But like, they definitely gonna get him out. But like, I don't know how they're gonna solve this. I don't know how they're gonna solve it. And shout out to Yemen and all the countries that stand on business, because they're getting crazy offers, like having their debt wiped out, being paid so much in aid if they stop the blockades and stop all these things, and they're standing on business, man. You can't, like, they're showing us what it shows not to sell out. You know, I mean, Palestinians are not selling out. Nobody, like, I mean, all these countries that are complying and helping Israel are sold out
because
they get the most in aid, and they want the peace, and like, you know what I mean? They're selling out, but they're showing you what happens when you don't sell out. You know what I mean? Like, they're in control now. And
alhamdulillah, like, the biggest thing that I've noticed, or a video that I saw recently, is that at least the people in Gaza got some type of reprieve. Because I believe I saw a video of a guy who's like, do you hear that? And he's like, there's nothing. It's silent.
Oh, I saw that.
Because now is not real's focus is all on the attacks. Pretty much trying to keep their defenses up, right?
Yeah.
So even their drones have stopped flying over Gaza right now, right?
First time in six months.
Even a week ago, or maybe a few days ago, I can't remember how many days ago it was, but they actually pulled out of Khan Yunis.
Yeah, yeah.
And completely, and they started, and the people from there started like moving back up and seeing exactly what's left. Of course, it's still a horrible situation because they lost everything, and they're just trying to figure out what they have left and try and like, you know, recover some way, but they're getting at least some reprieve. So that was one positive, at least, that I saw. And even before these attacks started, that I was kind of, you know, saw like it might be in a going, everything might be going in a more positive direction. And
when I first started listening to the TikTok lives, I think everybody came under the assumption that this is the end of Gaza. Like everybody just assumed that this is, you know, a fear that Gaza is going to be wiped off the map. Everybody just, that was the consensus that everybody had. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, you see them pulling out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just crazy. And not only that, they're actually retaliating, sending, while Iran sending missiles and other countries, Lebanon sending missiles, the resistance are sending missiles too, which is like a, it's just crazy, man. Like I don't know.
From like 3-4 directions almost, basically, because you got Lebanon,
you
got the resistance, you got Iran, you got
who else is
Yemen as well? Or no, Yemen is more of just like a blockade.
Oh, they're running a triple offense, the triangle offense on them. Okay. They're running the triangle offense on them. I seen that post. I thought, not to make jokes, but like it's just crazy how the sides are turning.
And speaking of how you said like not to make jokes, one thing that I was kind of concerned about and hoped that I wouldn't see as much, because people can use this against the pro-Palestinian people in the future, is that I did see a lot of bloodlust in the comments coming from people who are supportive of Palestine.
Yeah.
Where when they started seeing, like, you saw those videos of people in Israel running everywhere, screaming, looking for places to hide, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it, like, even for anybody, that'll be horrible just to be scared of that. Yeah, like, of course, they're in an area where that we believe they're on occupied land, but still, as a person, you know, there are kids and stuff there, you're scared for them. But you see people in the comments being like, yeah, now you know how it feels, you know, get them as much, like, you see a lot of these, like, very, and you know what, it's understand, again, I'm always going to be the devil advocate here, I'm always going to give the caveat, it's understandable because they've been killing and performing a genocide on the Palestinian people for so long now, that seeing any type of retaliation or any type of, like, payback will make anyone feel like, finally, like, you get to feel what the Palestinian people have been feeling for the longest time.
I think the only people who could have that feeling justified are Palestinians themselves.
Yes,
agreed.
Other than that, I think, you know, my stance is, like, there's a quote I saw, is like, I wish for you whatever you wish for Palestinians. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my stance. So, you know what I mean? So I ain't going to say nothing. I ain't going to cheer. Exactly. But I just wish for you whatever you wish for Palestinians. Yeah,
that's, like, the most political way of saying exactly.
Yeah, that's my stance, right? So
I was just gonna say, like, you know, we're never gonna celebrate the harm of innocent people. The retaliation is more so to kind of get back at those who have attacked and that have been torturing the Palestinians, right? Like, of course there's gonna be casualties. That kind of happens. Where I don't think people should be celebrating that in particular. But
I've never heard too many Palestinians wish for that. I've never heard them, like,
all they wanted was peace and a ceasefire. Like, that's literally all they wanted.
They wanted a right to return. They wanted certain things. And the situation has been so clear what they're asking for. Mm-hmm. Like, they want the right to return, the right to have equal rights. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how these other arguments came from it. I don't know how people really try to brainwash, confuse other people to think there's something else more to it. Like, even the chant. Like, oh, that's a... I realized that...
Oh, yeah. When they start going after the chant...
You know, but you know what's interesting though,
what,
like,
chant?
Huh? From the river to the sea.
That's the genocide.
Oh, chant.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny though, like, this scenario, whatever you want to call it, was I think it was probably the most hypocritical war, it's not a war, but whatever scenario I've ever seen in my life. Like, I've never seen something more hypocritical than this in my life, right? Because
what do you mean, the scenario of Iran retaliation?
No, everything, the whole Palestine, the whole, Israel, because whatever Israel has accused Palestinians of, they projected. Like, they say every accusation is a mission, it's a mission, right? So when they say that Palestinians are chanting for genocide, you actually saw that chant, I mean, I know you hear like Bassi Youssef and tell him, like, that chant came from the Luku party. That came from Israelis.
Yeah, that's exactly, and they've used it even recently themselves.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But in a more genocidal
term. They're actually showing us what they, like, they believe in it. So when they hear it, they know what they mean by it.
Exactly.
And that's why they're saying, yo, they're calling for genocide. Because when they say it, they actually mean, yo, we want everything, we want all of it. We want genocide. Mm-hmm. So they're like, yo, they're calling for genocide. This is crazy, man. The whole thing is hypocritical, bro. Everything they accuse them of.
Everything they say is just an exposing what their true intent is.
Oh, yeah. And you've seen what happened in the Al-Shifa Hospital. Mm. Like when they say that on October 7th, there was mass grape or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you've seen, like, everything they accused them of, they've done it way more. Everything.
Yeah.
There's nothing exception.
Speaking of hospitals, there's someone who pointed out, like, the hypocrisy of that situation as well. Because remember, initially, I think it was within the first couple weeks, there was a bombing that happened at Al-Shifa Hospital. Yeah. Well, I think it was Al-Shifa Hospital was hit. And they were trying to blame it on, like, a rogue rocket that was sent off by Hamas at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and everybody was debating that for days. Yeah, there's, like, there was video footage coming out. There was sound. There's, like, these conversations being put out to try and, like, basically blame it on the Palestinians themselves.
And people believed it.
That's exactly.
People believed it, bro. Like, I think it's something... I question your spirituality, man. Like, I really do. Like, if you can't see... Like, biggest dua I've been making is Allah... Make truth as truth, and make falsehood as falsehood.
Yeah.
If you're being deceived by these things, like, this is my personal take. It doesn't reflect anybody else's, but I just feel like it might be something wrong with you spiritually, because if you can't see, like, you know what I mean? I don't know, man. But you can't fall for these things.
But even when that was happening, if you came out saying, like, oh, maybe it was Hamas at the time, let's say that's understandable, right?
Yeah.
But then look at today now, 36 hospitals have been destroyed.
Yeah,
by the Palestine, by the Israeli government, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
and they've proudly shown videos of them shooting at these buildings, killing world around doctors, like even international doctors and all the healthcare workers. Like, it's crazy how, and you'd think that even the healthcare workers here would be speaking out about this, but I've seen multiple popular healthcare workers online who have not said a word about it. I'm looking at you, Dr. Mike.
Do you think they're being silenced, or are they silent? You know that saying?
Silent. That's a good
one. It doesn't. At this point, it's like,
doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just at that point. If you're being silenced, you're just really being silenced because you don't want to lose your money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But we've had that conversation too, right? Mm-hmm. About influencers and the argument of whether or not they should actually be using their platform and. They have to do a job, so should we really get mad at them for posting sponsored content?
No, but this is a doctor,
right,
who is not speaking out about his own fellow healthcare workers being killed and maimed and tortured and all these other horrible things being done to them.
Mm.
It's a similar thing to us Muslims, how we have a connection, a very deep connection to the Palestinian people, because we just have that connection to all Muslims around the world, right? Yeah. Like, that's a part of it. But I feel like usually people, when they have a job as intense as being a doctor, where, like, they have that common understanding, like us as Muslims have a common understanding, I feel like you would be even more inclined to kind of, like, speak out about it, because you know that the fact that they have to do his job, the job that he's currently doing, that's hard to do in a Western country already, but now they're doing it in a war-torn country, in a place where they don't have as many resources. Like, you should have some type of, like, sympathy for that and be able to at least speak out about that, no matter how much it affects your pocketbook, right?
Yeah. I don't think they care.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah, exactly.
In the West, we're very individualistic. Like, unless it affects you personally, they don't care.
Yeah.
It's a sad truth.
I'll say, like, and it moved, one of the topics that we actually have in the Palestine series in Luz Muerto, like, not only do we connect because we're Muslim to Palestine, but, like, there's a lot of, I was kind of underwhelmed or surprised by the lack of black support for Palestine.
Because
when I looked at it, I feel like the struggles were so similar.
Yeah.
So one of the conversations we have were the, like, intersexual, like, how the similarities or the parallels between the black struggle and the Palestinian struggle.
Yeah. Our early civil rights leaders saw that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they actually, man, Malcolm X has some, a lot of them have some amazing quotes that are super relative today. Super, super relative today. Like, this was back in the 60s, back in the 70s, back in, like, they identified the problem for exactly for what it was.
Yeah. And that's when the problem was only 15 years old at that point, right?
Yeah. They called it, it's not religious, it's political. They called it, question of oppression, question of being people kicked out of their homelands. Yeah. Like they called it, they understood what the problem exactly was. Like they said it was colonialism. They said it was imperialism. They said they literally, like I could, like I, when I hear them, I was like looking into it. I was like, dang, like how did like. How we still can't see that today?
Yeah,
like,
it's more. Like, it's almost more relevant, or it's as relevant as it was then as it is now. Like, or is that how you say?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah. No, but what's the problem is like, yo, I'm like black people in America. Like, I can't say that I went through that struggle. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? But it's so like oppression is oppression. That's what Malcolm X stood for, oppression all over the world. He wasn't just for Muslims. Like, he stood for oppression all over the world. He was anti-oppression.
Yeah.
So it was like the way that Palestinians are being treated is so similar to how blacks were being or in America. Like there's so many, like and that was a very good conversation that we had. And I was just like, I think people don't understand the common American, black American, you know, they don't really understand like, yo, you could, I guess they've been taught in churches in their circles, like Israel is something
they think they're like the chosen people or something.
I know it's taught in the churches, like it's a biblical thing, like, and they're the oppressed people. So I guess they saw like those oppressed people are, we identify with that oppression.
But that's a very small.
They were oppressed. Like, they were oppressed. Like, well, the ones of the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ones, I mean, they were very, I mean, of course, like, they were the Jews of the Bible were very oppressed. So they were like, yeah, I guess they were sold on that point or something. But
but you would think that, like, people of color in general would be able to, the oppressed always recognize the
oppressed. Yeah. Oppression. Yeah.
Oppressed, or like, I forget what that line is, right? Yeah. But essentially, like, if you're someone who comes from a background where your people were oppressed at some point, usually you can recognize who the oppressor is versus who's being oppressed.
I think people didn't know enough of what was going on to identify with themselves.
Yeah, and they still don't. I don't feel like a lot of don't really care enough
to know what's going on. I don't know. I always kind of like shocked me. I was like, yo, like the stories are so similar. There's so many parallels. Like, I don't know how you can see yourself or identify your own struggle in it. You know,
I think that also, like, you have to give a lot of credit to the propaganda that's been shared throughout the last 50, 60 years, right?
Yeah.
So I think that plays also a big part of it as well. But it's been great. Honestly, I feel like a lot of those people are also going to start waking up or have been waking up. And even if they don't know the whole situation, a lot of times when you do even mention it a little bit or give them some type of insight, they're usually a lot more easier to people. I'm speaking about black people or people of color in general. They're a lot easier to kind of like convince of who is in the right or who's in the wrong of that situation. It's usually the people that are, you know, more on the lighter side who are a little bit harder to convince, right?
Yeah.
Because at that point, I feel like it's just like it's a recognition thing. Like they feel more connected to people who look like them versus it goes into a whole race thing as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also South Africans, they've always been. They've been day one. Oh, South Africans and even people.
Shout out to Ireland and South Africa. Ireland, exactly. Yeah. South Africa and Ireland, man. Man, I tip my hat to them, bro. Like, they made me so proud, man. Yeah. They made the world proud. They made the world. Exactly. Let's just say that. They made them proud.
And South Africans specifically are coming from, like, the apartheid side.
Yeah.
Like, they are able to recognize what apartheid is.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
The fact that the rest of the world is not able to recognize, hey, this country is putting up giant walls. Yeah. It's not the Palestinians who are putting up these walls. It's one side that's putting up these walls. And, like, there was actually a video I saw on Instagram or someone reacting to a video where a lady was like, oh, where this apartheid that you're talking about, like, where is it? Oh, it was Michael Rapaport. Went with like this is not real woman or this Zionist, basically. And they went and they saw a sign on the road that said, past this point, only Palestinians are allowed in here. Right.
Yeah, cool.
And he was like, where's the apartheid? Look. Who do you think is causing this apartheid, right? And he's pointing at the sign as if the Palestinians are the ones who are creating this apartheid and creating this separation, not realizing the irony of that sign was put up by the is not real government.
Yeah.
To basically
they think they're clever. Because the term is really not, according to them, it's not apartheid, it's called Hafrada. Because they're saying that apartheid happens in your own.
Same thing with a different name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But because they say apartheid happens in your own state, right? Because they're saying it's not Israel. That happened in Israel. That's what they say. That's what it claims. But in the West Bank, that's not technically Israel. But Israel controls it.
Exactly.
That's why you have Palestinians who can't open the front door. They can't leave. They can't walk on the front door because it's a Jewish-only road. So they have their front door is welded shut. And they have to climb out through the back. Like, these are older women. Your mom, when they want to go to the grocery store, they got to climb through the back, over the roof, over the fence. And, like, I'm watching the video. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Like, they cannot walk through the front door. They have to go through the back, over the roof.
Yeah.
And then, because the road in front of them is a Jewish road. So they're saying, like, well, you know, Israel doesn't do this, but, you know, the West Bank, that's Palestine. So it's separated there for safety. It's always safety. Everything is, like, safety. Like, I mean, like, you know, because they attacked us. And it's crazy, bro. Because
they don't think of the Palestinian people as rational human beings.
Yeah.
They don't think of them as human beings in general, right? Like, they just see them as a different entity altogether.
They got different license plates. They got different passports. They can't only move certain places. Like, so much restriction, like, everything.
If that's not apartheid, what is apartheid?
It's crazy, bro. Like, bro, like, I don't understand how, as an American who, bro, when the pandemic happened and stores closed 4 hours earlier, they were ready to take arms and like, just go to war. Like, literally go to war just because the store closed a little bit earlier. You know, they're buying out toilet paper and just, like, it was about to be civil unrest. I mean, like, you know what I mean? For the pandemic, bro. Yeah. Like, and, like, and they're saying, oh, yeah, they just can't see it. Like, and it just blows my mind. That's why I wanted to have these conversations, like, and just really bring people, like, yo, this is the situation and we got to speak about it. Exactly. That's what I really want to talk about. And I mean, I really wanted to bring that out to light.
Yeah, it's very important to speak about these. Like, I'm hoping, this whole time I'm thinking, like, yo, this episode better not get suppressed, man. I'm going to have to, like, YouTube, because you know how it is. Yeah, like,
No, everything is. Everything is. Everything,
I think that's a big reason that even when we're talking about it, recently, or like, as we always bring up the situation, we try to not use certain words, or even for the last episode, I would like cut out certain words mute certain words if I like had to correct myself and use a word that may not get caught by the algorithm.
Yeah,
this episode I'm not going to do that because we've already said a million times.
We'll just ask that if you're listening to this,
we
don't always really push for you guys to share our content, but like for this one episode, our ask of you guys is to just share it with every single person in your family. Create new accounts if you need to. We want to make sure that this episode doesn't actually just fall through the cracks or get shadow banned or anything like that. But
yeah, inshallah it doesn't. We'll see.
You know, I brought up Sammy Humdi, and I bring his name up again because I want everybody to look into him. He has very you probably seen his face. You don't know his name. You probably
He's on the Thinking Muslim podcast.
He does a lot of interviews with Thinking Muslim podcast.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Like, I know that I know who you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. It's just that I have to see it to see who it is.
Yeah, I know Amir's editing skills. He'll probably pull up the
video. Exactly. I'll pull it up there.
He just had a way of finding the light and finding the positive in everything, because he made some points where I didn't think about, because he was like, you know, Muslims is like, you're just posting on social media. You're not bringing change. You're not bringing any kind of change.
Yeah.
You're just posting on social media in your own echo chambers.
Yeah.
But what Sammy Humdi was saying, he's a political like geo analyst. He's like, you resharing so much that you broke the algorithm that is becoming popular, and it's starting to get in the feeds of people who actually didn't want to see this.
I might have seen that video too.
Yeah, and they're learning more about it because it's because you're pushing it so much that it's breaking the algorithm.
Like, the algorithm has no choice but to start sharing.
It's becoming on the feed of people who just wouldn't be interested in it. Now they're seeing it, like, yo, what is this? And they're and not only that, it got to the point where Netanyahu and these war cabinets are having meetings with Twitter, Facebook. See why? Because you're sharing stuff on, and your power, you have power.
Yeah.
Like, they're concerned. They're in the middle of a war and they're concerned about what we're doing.
Yeah. It wasn't surprising that TikTok, the TikTok ban recently came up. Yeah. And then when you look at all the people who were supporting it, were being lobbied by APEC.
Crazy. Like, it's so clear, bro. Like, it's so clear. Like I said, Palestine free the world, and it's showing all the hypocrisy. I'm going to say that every time. God believe in my heart. Yeah. I believe, you know, what we thought Palestine has done, I feel like the world was in the last stages, like the Western powers and the colonialism and capitalism were on the last stages.
Late stage capitalism,
Like, they were about to just really take over the whole world, and they just had one little stop before taking over the whole world and expanding Israel and becoming a crazy powerhouse. And Palestine just held the door for us and said, we're not leaving. Like, they wanted to just bulldoze through it and build their bigger Israel and start, like, I guess, world domination, whatever. I don't want to say anything like anti, but, like, I just feel like they really held the door and said, look, man, we're not leaving. And we're going to give our lives
for this.
Their
resilience is probably something that we should all kind of learn from, right?
I saw the importance of just standing your ground. I just feel like, you know, if we did have a Muslim unity, if we had, like, that kind of, you know what I mean? That was there to stand up against injustice. It was there to fight these kind of, you know what I mean? Imagine if the Ottoman Empire wasn't there. How much more corruption would happen in the world? How much more colonialism would happen in the world, right? Because that was a powerhouse against these, you know, until they fell. You know what I mean? And they had their own, I'm not going to say they were pure. Like, they had their own, they fell for a reason. They had their own corruption going on too.
Yeah.
But, like, these things are there to stop corruption. And every Muslim, really, is there to stop evil from spreading in this world.
Yeah.
I mean, Palestine is showing you how to do that.
I feel like that's part of our duty at this point, right?
Yeah, they have no other reward besides paradise, man. Like, they're really like, yo, the whole, they're like, push them into the desert, let them leave.
Yeah.
They said, no, man, this is our home. We're going to defend our home.
Yeah, we know how things are destined to happen, right? So, you know, for coming from a Muslim perspective.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we all in our hearts kind of knew that it can only go so far.
Yeah.
And, like, the things that are happening now aren't completely surprising to Muslims. The fact that there has been so much pushback and the fact that they're not able to complete exactly what they want to do, because in our heart of hearts, we know that there's only so far they can go because there are certain things that are predestined to happen. And we've been promised that they will happen in that certain way. So we kind of have some like, we trust in Allah, basically, at the end of the day, right? So we kind of know that no matter what, as long as you have trust in Allah and you are steadfast in religion and making sure that you kind of do what you can, the best you can as a Muslim, things will work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a hadith. Don't quote me on this one. But I think there's a hadith about like Gaza and how Prophet some like kind of point out to the people of Gaza and show them that's one of the best kind of defenses there is. Like, you know, when the people gather around you, Prophet some said like build walls and like defend yourself, secure yourself. And he pointed out to that area and said that's one of the best. I don't want to say it's a fact, but I've heard that.
I can understand that. Because Al-Aqsa itself has a lot of importance in our future as Muslims. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think maybe that's what it's referencing, the fact that like in the near future, we never know when, you know, the time will come or whatever, but there's a lot of that. There's a lot that will happen there. Yeah. And there are certain things that need to still be standing in those areas to facilitate those. So we have at least that trust in Allah that certain things in that area and the people in that area will be able to resist as much as they can to allow those things to happen in the future.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we can get solace from it. Yeah. That's the word. And speaking of walls, the last thing I wanted to mention, a big update was, I don't know, because this is kind of, there's so much videos going out there. So much happening. There's maybe it's confirmed or unconfirmed, but I saw like there were videos of people taking down the walls.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
I've actually heard, I was on TikTok Live with Palestinians when that happened. And they were debating amongst themselves.
Yeah,
they were saying like that is the wall. They're like, no, it's not concrete. Exactly. It's not cement. Like they were saying, they're not sure. But either way, it's a symbol. It's a victory. Exactly. It's a victory. Yeah. Man. Yeah.
Like that, the idea of a wall being broken down, especially with, it has a lot of symbolism in the world because everybody, when they think about walls being broken down, at least me, I think of what happened when the
Berlin Wall,
the Berlin Wall was taken down, and the Soviet Union was essentially dismantled. So I get that kind of energy from that idea, from seeing those images. And from what we saw after that, there's a lot of positive. Of course, there's a lot of, you know, things that happened at the time, but at the end of the day, it kind of ended in a more positive place, which I hope, inshallah, that's what happens here.
Symbolic things that's been happening. Exactly. A lot of things that's like, I think the biggest, like, I want to say like wow moment, like for me, I was like, whoa, I thought that was like kind of crazy, was like when America declared, this is just separate, this is something that I'm sharing my thought on this one, but like when America declared Yemen as a I don't know if I can say the T word, terrorist state.
Yeah.
And then Yemen was like, well, we declare America as a terrorist state. I thought that was one of the biggest boss. I feel like it just, the world is shifting, man. And then one of the biggest things that's being questioned, and when I say Palestine exposed everything, Western values. I think people are really, really reevaluating Western values.
That's been something that's been the talk of the town for many years. No,
It has.
Probably 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Especially with the rise of social media and like more voices are getting out there. And now you've noticed that there are a lot more people who are converting to Islam because they see a lot of these
values that we hold. That's a whole topic right there, too.
That's a whole topic. I hope you talk about that.
That's a big one.
That's a big thing that's been happening. We've talked about that a few times now, especially with the biggest time. I mean, the time we spoke about the most was when Megan Rice converted. Yeah. And I feel like when that happened, it almost like set off like a chain reaction where you saw a lot more people in the limelight converting to Islam. Like I think we spoke about Sean King earlier, but also about Lil Jon, who also converted. We're seeing that a lot of people are starting to adopt our values. Yeah.
Never in my life did I think Lil Jon.
I know.
I
mean,
I grew up in Atlanta, and I know, like, I grew up listening to Lil Jon. Alhamdulillah, man. Alhamdulillah for Islam. I don't want to judge nobody. It's just, the idea was just so, it's crazy, man. It's Alhamdulillah, you just never know, man.
Exactly. Yeah. And there are people online, you know, trying to push back. I'm still convinced that a lot of these people, we call them like haram police, whatever.
You know how much they hate
I
that
I have
word.
A conspiracy that some of them are Zionists in disguise.
Yeah.
And trying to make Muslims seem like very negative and vile people.
Yeah.
But really, I just feel like it's people undercover. You know, especially there's that thing you can do where you just click on their username page and you see, okay, when did they make this account? How many followers do they have? What's their activity? And when you realize like this person made the account 5 minutes ago, you're like, eh, yeah. I doubt it. Doubt.
Yeah. Another thing, like I just thought about, and I'll leave on this note too. Like when I say exposed everything, this is like, I saw a post, I think I reposted it like today or something.
Yeah.
It's like, they need the US or the West, they need Islam to be the enemy. Because it justifies them going to Muslim majority areas. Yeah. You know what I mean? You start to see that, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So they always, and then you see, like, just the propaganda that works and who's behind it, who has control of it. And they project, like, it's just crazy, man. Like, because it's ironic because, like, you know, when they say that Muslims migrate to lands or become immigrants in lands, they cause trouble because they won't assimilate. They're different. But at the same time, you need a Jewish home state because you won't assimilate with the,
exactly.
Like, it's just like when I say it's hypocrisy, it's hypocrisy every single, like, you're literally known not to assimilate. That's why you want you say you need a home because you can't, you won't fit in the world because you stand out, you're different.
Exactly.
So, but when a Muslim does it, you're like, oh, they're the problem. They come to UK, they come to all these countries and they just, they want to assimilate. They won't do this. They want Muslims to assimilate.
Yeah.
And a lot of these mass migration companies are owned by a certain type of people. Yeah. I'm not going to say who.
But, that propaganda is not working anymore.
Yeah, clearly. Well, none of it's working.
Yeah,
man.
People
none
are starting to realize anymore. Who Muslims really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people who really understand that are the ones who are converting now too.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's only going to snowball from now. It's going to continue growing. People are going to be, even the people who are least tolerant towards Muslims are starting to realize who we truly are, what our values really are, and how they align more with their values, and it's just gonna flip the tables on them. At least, you know, inshallah, that's what I see happening.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh no. Sorry. Do you have any last things you wanted to say before we end it off here?
I'm gonna leave it with a joke that I heard last night.
Okay.
When they said they're happy that Islam is spreading, but they say that they want a cap on white people in Islam. Like, we need a certain cap. Because they're scared that they're going to gentrify the religion. Like, they need to make appointments to get to the mosque and, like, to pray. It was just a funny joke. I'm sorry, I butchered that joke.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Idiot Mubarak.
Man, that was a good show, man. That was funny, man. So, yeah, I was sorry. The joke was funny, but I butchered it, man. But, yeah.
You know what? Anyway. We're not all comedians.
I'm playing. But, on a serious note, and you can cut that part out.
No, I'm keeping it in.
On a serious note, like, never stop talking about it, man.
Never.
I regret so many, like, years. I think when I first started looking into this conflict was 2017.
Yeah.
Because it was like the 100-year anniversary of the Balfour Declaration. To me, in my opinion, that's where everything started.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people bring up like 1948 and the wars and this and that, but I really feel like once the idea was put on paper and they white people just kind of agreed, like, we're going to split this land up.
Yeah.
And after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, which, by the way, were betrayed by the Muslim or the Arab leaders.
Yeah.
Because they turned on the Ottoman Empire. Because they were promised that land.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, right? Like, so when people allow this, like, why are the Muslim leaders not? But these are the same people who actually backstabbed the Muslim caliphate to establish, you know what I mean, their own. And then they got double crossed too because they were like, yo,
there's a whole history.
Once they helped the British take the Ottoman down, the British just took them down.
Exactly.
They're like, yo, get out of here. And then like, we're going to get this land
to remember, it used to be called Arabia for a reason.
And then there's a lot of reasons why they wanted that land because the Suez Canal and all the things. But never stop. I said that because I wish I had talked about it earlier. I mean, like, because you just feel like you can't talk about something because the world's just not going to listen.
Yeah.
Don't ever feel like that, man, because now all the things that I wished would happen years ago, people are talking about it now.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, like, don't ever feel like you can't do nothing, bro. Like, speak about it. Like, the Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah,
Congo, Sudan, like, don't, just because everybody's not talking about it doesn't mean you can't talk about
exactly.
it, bro. Like, you know what I mean, speak about it. If it's something you like, hey, this is wrong, this is clear, man, be the voice, man. There's people that are really dependent on it. Always keep talking about it, man. I'm not the best voice to speak about it, but I am a voice, and I believe in that cause, and we all do. So, like, keep speaking.
And you can hear that voice on the Luz Marto podcast.
thank you
shout out to Luz Marto on Instagram.
Yeah
and Luz Marto on any most podcasting platforms. You can find it on there.
And also follow his personal page too.
Yeah,
Yo Gabby.
G-A-B-B-I-I-I. Yo Gabby. Two B's, three I's.
We'll link it below.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put it up under him. You know how we do it on the editing and stuff.
Yeah, the editing is crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, like Sada said earlier, make sure to share this to as many people as you can so we can get the message out there and so we can get more people listening to the Loose Matto podcast who are doing great work out here. And I guess you can, you know, maybe if you want, you can follow us and hit the subscribe button on our channel. But if you've already done that, again, thank you, Adil, for coming in and speaking to us about this. And again, thank you for listening to the Cousin H podcast. And we'll see y'all next week. Bye.
That there's not like global impact that they can make, but that still doesn't prevent them from doing what they can do in the realm of their control.
Yeah, so. And I'll say, like, I feel like a lot of people are questioning what can they do, and I think they don't realize the power that they have. Just you have a lot of power, bro. You have a lot of ability to change, influence, and to inspire, and to you could do a lot, bro. Like, you just being born in America, like, you have a privilege too. Like, you can affect the change of the upcoming elections or the funding that goes to, you know, a genocidal government, right? Like, you have a lot of, you actually have a lot. We just don't know our power, bro. That's the scary part about it. So, like, these conversations.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.